Canada Day. And welcome to Fiber Hooligan. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 14th episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos, and I'm broadcasting live from my home in Harrisburg, South Dakota. Yeah, I just couldn't make it into work today. Too much work to do. I hope you'll all forgive me. My guest today is a lifelong knitter and longtime fixture in the fiber industry. She is the owner and dynamic force behind Bagsmith, a company that is perhaps most well-known for their big stitch projects and yarn, worked on size 11 needles and larger, and their size 35 and 50 needles are also very popular. Her company offers fun, innovative, and creative challenges to an ever-changing market through a line of unique products featured in more than 600 independent yarn shops throughout the United States, Canada, the UK, and France. She is definitely an out-of-the-box thinker and marketer. I'm speaking, of course, of my friend, Becca Smith. Becca joins us this morning from Beechwood, Ohio. Good morning, Becca, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Benjamin. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's wonderful to have you here. I don't get to spend nearly enough time with you. I did get to see you at TNA again. I didn't get a chance to spend that much time, but your booth looked great. How was your show?
The show was really interesting for us. Of course, we have our own line of Bagsmith products, and we also are the North American distributors for Saju. So our booth always has everything from the smallest needles to the biggest needles in the market. And it was really great to see friends from the industry and meet with current customers as well as some new shop owners who are coming through.
Yes, we saw that too. There were some nice little mix of new shop owners out there. I love seeing that. We need shops to be healthy and vital out there. I saw your pieces on the fashion show runway. Very pretty. Were those your designs?
Well, you know, we work with a variety of designers, both within our company and then outside. So the two pieces that you saw, one was the asymmetrical poncho, which was knit on size 50 needles using our new big stitch merino yarn. And that was designed by a woman in New York. Her name is Julia Ramsey. And she has a beautiful, beautiful website called Julia Ramsey Knitwear. I recommend people go and check it out. She's quite creative, and we found her through just looking through things on Pinterest one day and contacted her, and she was very excited about working with our yarn. So she did that poncho, and then I designed the bobble cowl, which is really a fun piece to wear, and people love touching it because it's very, very tactile, and that was the piece in gray. So it was one of our in-house designs and one designed by Julie Ramsey.
It all looked good. It was packed. It was a very good fashion show. TNA did a very good job this time. It was great to see. Yeah, they did. Were you there at the show? I didn't see you at the show.
I was sitting there. I mean, everybody in the industry is so anxious to show their new designs and everything, and sometimes that fashion show gets very loaded. But this one moved very, very quickly, and everybody seemed to be excited about some of the things that were on the runway, which is great.
I agree. When I came by your booth to see you, of course, your mom was there. I love seeing your mom. Did she have
fun? She did. You know, she has become so much a part of who we are at Bagsmith. She has taught literally thousands of people how to work with the great big needles, how to work with multiple yarns and do stash projects. And, you know, people come to the booth to see Jean. They want to spend time with her. And at TNNA, there was a woman who ran up to her while she was walking down one of the aisles saying, "Oh, Jean, I want to see you. I want to talk to you. You taught me how to do Tunisian crochet on those big needles, and I just love it."
Yeah, she's pretty wonderful. And she's a natural-born teacher, too. For listeners that weren't at Stitches South, we were very fortunate to have TV come in and cover us, and a lot of TV. It was very good. Becca and her mom were there, and you ended up giving him a knitting lesson on some fairly large needles.
Yeah, she taught the reporter from that local TV station how to knit, like, within minutes. I mean, he really understood. When you're working on big needles and the stitches are so big, it's very easy to see what's happening with the yarn. Where is the yarn going? You know, where is it coming from? Where is it going? You know, how that stitch slips off the needle and becomes a new stitch on the next needle. And so she's really, really good at that. Of course, she taught me how to knit many, many years ago. So, and she's
not that many years, I'm sure.
Well, my gray hair will show it, so anybody who sees me knows.
All right, well, let's back up a little bit. This is a good time. We were talking about many years ago. For our listeners that don't know you as well as I do, let's back up and tell them your story. Let's tell your personal history. How did you get into this crazy industry that we belong to?
Well, I've been knitting since I was very, very young, and I've always had something going on with some, actually, part of needle arts. You know, I've done a lot of knitting and crocheting. I have also done a lot of needlepoint over the years, and I started life as a music teacher, had one foot in the visual arts as well, so I was never quite sure which direction I was going in. And after a couple of other career things, my husband and I bought a company that took me back and forth to China on a regular basis. So I always had a project with me. And I started looking at what kinds of products I could bring into this industry, because we were working with lots of other industries. Saw a lot of raw materials, and it was during that time in the late 90s, early 2000, that I designed what has become our famous project bag, which, you know, this is a canvas bag on a stand that's got 17 pockets, and it's got a detachable shoulder strap, and it really, really became kind of one of the mainstays of our collection. And so we decided to bring that out, as well as a line of purse kits. And that's how Bagsmith got started, is through this project bag and also through the purse kits, hence the name Bagsmith. So we brought all of that out around 2004. And, you know, one thing leads to another, and we started incorporating other people's yarns in our designs and then coming up with some of our own yarns. And I took the products to a show in London called the Knitters and Stitchers Show at the Alexandra Palace. And it was there that I met a woman named Rachel John, who was knitting on these gigantic needles. And I thought, geez, no one's doing that back home. And she was using multiple strands of yarn all together to create these beautiful rugs and shawls and other things. And so I started talking with her. I actually brought her to TNNA one year so that she could demonstrate. And first we were importing her needles, and then we decided that, you know, it would probably be better for us to manufacture them here. So that's how the whole big stitch thing evolved. And so once we had the needles and we were doing all of this stash knitting, and I was actually asked to write a book called Big Stitch Knitting, which involved all kinds of stash projects and working with a variety of different yarns combined together, that we read an article in a local paper here about all these alpaca breeders, and they didn't know what to do with their fiber. And we thought, gee, maybe what we could do is make a yarn that would be big enough to work on the needles. And we contacted a local mill in Ohio, and we started working with them. It took about 9 months to come up with big stitch yarn. First, the alpaca yarn, and then more recently, the merino yarn. But this is a yarn that is specifically designed to work on big needles. So that's kind of the evolution of how all of that got started.
Well, then, of course, you went out to the market. You know, you do a lot of shows, and you spend a lot of time talking to the end consumers. let's talk about that process for a minute. So you're out there. It's a very different thing when you're going to a wholesale show as opposed to a retail show. but still you get that excitement from the person that you're showing this to. Can you talk about that experience a little bit?
Well, you know, this is where the creative process comes in, because a lot of people come into the booth and they look at what we've done, and, you know, we have wall hangings in the booth at some of the shows and various different kind of improvisations that I've done over the years. And so people will walk in and say, oh, you know, I'd really love to make a rug for my bedroom, or I'd really love to use some of these yarns that I've got sitting around. How do you do all of this? And so the fun thing about working at the retail shows is the interaction that we have with customers. You know, we get them to sit down, mom gets them to sit down and try the needles, or she'll teach them how to do Tunisian crochet with multiple fibers. And Susan will be there and she'll start working with people who want to design something, or I'll work with them on designing something that is specific for, you know, their home or for an outfit that they want to have an accessory for. So, you know, we really concentrate on the creative process in this as much as anything else. I mean, we have kits that people can just buy outright, or, you know, pattern. We have tons of pattern books. We actually have 3 new pattern books of ideas for working with the bumps, the Big Stitch Alpaca and Merino yarn. You may want to know what a bump is. And it's really a term that comes out of the mill, comes out of the mills, and it just refers to a great big ball of yarn, so to speak, but it's the way that it comes off of the carder and the the specific equipment that makes this big yarn. And so it's a bump of yarn, and as opposed to a hank or a skein or a ball. So we work with people all the time who want to do something that's unique to their home or wardrobe. And that creative process is really a fun one to get involved with customers.
So while we're talking about it, you've got, let's talk about the entire Big Stitch range of products, and let's lay it out for our customers here. Let's talk about the needles and the hooks and the bumps and the range that you have for the bumps. Can you talk about your range?
Sure. So the needles we sell are size 35, which is a 19 millimeter, and size 50, which is 25 millimeters. And we sell them in 4 lengths. So you can get a 20-inch needle, a 24, 28, or a 32-inch needle. Now, remember, you're knitting a stitch per inch, or more, depending on how much fiber you have in a given stitch. And so if you're thinking about making a rug, for instance, on a 20-inch needle, you can certainly get 25 to 30 stitches on it when you push the stitches together. That's 30 inches wide. And however long you want to make it. So that's kind of the way to think about big stitch knitting.
One of the things, I'm going to interject here real quick, Becca, because one of the things that I want listeners who have never picked up one of your knitting needles to know is, okay, you think in terms of you've got this huge knitting needle. It's going to be heavy. It's really light. I mean, I remember the first time I picked one up, I thought, how is this possible that it's this light? Because it's beautiful wood.
Right. It's basswood, actually. We make the needles out of basswood, so they are quite light. And we teach people to knit in their laps. You know, it's unlike small needles where you hold it up to see the stitches. You don't need to hold it up to see these stitches. You just put the whole thing in your lap, and you work the stitches at the points, and you move the yarn, the stitches up the needle, and the whole thing sits in your lap. So any of the weight is actually held right there in your lap. And so there isn't a lot of heaviness that you have to worry about in your hands, your wrists, your arms. It's very, very easy to use. And, you know, some people will come by the booth and they'll say, oh, I have arthritis, I can't work with these big needles. But mom will get them to sit down and try the needles. And before you know it, they're buying the needles because it is just so easy to work with them. And so then on the crochet side, all of the hooks, both the 9-inch hooks and the Tunisian hooks, are all made of maple. And our tools are made by a wonderful craftsman. His name is John Higgins, and he has just done an exceptional job over the years making these tools. And people are ordering them from all over the world. I mean, we're shipping some out to Australia this week. So it's really very, very exciting. So in terms of crochet hooks, we sell size N, O, P, S, and U. And a U hook, of course, is a 25-millimeter hook. An S hook is a 19-millimeter hook. So they're, you know, kind of aligned with the needle sizes.
That's great.
And we also... And go ahead.
Please, go ahead. No, please, go ahead. Yep.
So then, we also, aside from our big stitch yarns, which are the alpaca and merino yarns, we also have yarns made for us by two wonderful companies. One is hand-painted knitting yarns, and they do bundles for us that have six yarns that are all hand-dyed, hand-painted, all at the same time. So there are six different textures in the bundle, and the bundles, you know, have 500 and some odd yards in those. And then we work with Patty Subic at Great Adirondack, and she makes us bundles that have 12 yarns, 12 different textures in a bundle. So, and we have patterns that are designed to make the most of all those different textures and yarns in the bundles. And those are generally done on size 11 and up, depending on what the pattern is. So that's really where our niche is. You know, our niche is not making socks on size 00s or, you know, or size 1 or 2. Our niche is really the other end of the spectrum. And, you know, people like to buy these things. You know, there are a lot of people will have many projects going at the same time, some on small needles and some, you know, just on big needles so that they can get something done quickly and for a gift or for their home or for just for themselves.
But you've done a good job, not only with the tools, but you've got great pattern support and a pretty wide range of yarns. Can you talk about everything you have to offer? I just want our listeners to understand, you know, that there's not two patterns for this, that you've got a nice support line here.
We have, for the bumps, for the alpaca and the merino bumps, the yardage on a bump is the same regardless of whether or not you're purchasing the alpaca bumps or the merino bumps. So the patterns that we've developed are all interchangeable. So depending on which fiber you like, you just, you know, choose that particular bump and the patterns will all work. So we have the original bump book, which came out a few years ago, and we have two more bump books, bump 2 and bump 3. And then we took, at the suggestion of a customer, we took all of the home decor products and put them into a separate book we call Bump Dwelling. And so all the rugs and the pillows and the blankets and anything to do with home decor is in the new book called Bump Dwelling. And each one of the books has, some of them have 12 patterns, some of them have 7 or 8 patterns, depends on the length of the pattern and how complicated it is. But if you go to the website, you can see photographs linked to each one of the books so that you know what patterns are in those books. And what I've tried to do is give people an idea. If they see a photograph they like and they click on it, they'll see how many bumps they actually need to make that specific thing. So, for instance, we have a great pillow. It's a three-dimensional triangle, if you will, called a cush. And it's made from one of our bumps, alpaca or merino. And you knit it on size 35 circulars, which we offer from a variety of different companies. And you knit this piece up and you create a closing at one end, and then you take a pillow protector, a zippered pillow protector, and you put it inside and you fill it with beanbag filler, all those little tiny beans that you see used in bean bags, and you fill it up, and then you zip up the pillow protector to keep the beans locked in a nice pillow form, and you create a seam at the top in the opposite direction of the bottom seam. So it creates, it's kind of like a backrest, and if you know, it's great to lean against. You can control, you know, how soft or hard you want it by the amount of beans that you put into the pillow protector. And so that gives you an idea. So when you go to the website and you look at that, you click on that picture, you know you only need one bump for that, as opposed to some of the blanket patterns that need two or three bumps.
Well, I was really impressed with the Kush. For those fiber hooligans that are watching the little rotating pictures, there's a picture of somebody leaning up against
that's
a
Susan.
A Kush.
Yes.
Susan, right. Susan, of course.
Yeah.
And it's neat. You basically took a pillow and you took one end and you made it perpendicular to the other side. And it's adorable. How long does it take to knit something like that?
Oh, maybe 3 hours.
Wow.
4 hours, depends.
Okay, listen,
on how
this
fast.
This is great, fiber hooligans. You can knit your own furniture in 3 or 4 hours. This is what you want to do.
That's right. That's right.
And so, the Kush pattern, is it a single pattern or is it in the home decor?
It's actually in two places. It's in bump volume 2, and it's also in the bump dwelling in the home decor collection.
You said a few minutes ago that you're sort of most well known for, okay, that we do these big projects, but that's not exactly the case. You know, you have other fine, delicate things that you sell, and that's Sanju. Am I pronouncing that right?
Sanju.
Your line with Sanju. Okay, please excuse me.
That's okay.
Just the words putting together and making them sound right thing that doesn't always work for me on Mondays. But you have some really beautiful, delicate things that are not big. Can you talk about that? Because it's almost
sure.
The other direction.
It is. Maison Sajou is a line of haberdashery items in France and includes everything from embroidery and darning needles and cross-stitch patterns and beautiful, beautiful threads to exquisite scissors that are handmade in small French workshops. And, you know, fine scissors can be identified by pairing markings, because what happens in the manufacturing process is they make the two blades to match exactly, and they put pairing numbers on them as they're making them so that they know which two are pairs. And so there are pairing markings in almost all of the handmade scissors that come from France, and we sell through the Sajou line. This is a company that was started in the 1800s to provide supplies to women who did quote-unquote fancy work, people who did embroidery and sewing and cross-stitch and also knitting and crocheting, but they really concentrated more on the embroidery and cross-stitch. And over the years, this man, Monsieur Sajou, he created pattern books, albums of alphabets and various different scenes. And these were all published, and he had a great run with it. But he passed away, his relatives took it on for a short while, and the company then became dormant. And in France, when a company is dormant for 50 years, the opportunity to revive the brand is out there. And a woman named Frédérique Christambier, who had been collecting Sajou and had written books about scissors, and she was in the publishing business, and she was just an avid collector of all this, found that it was the 50-year mark, that the brand had been dormant, and she bought it. And she has brought this company back to life. And not only has she brought back many of the designs that Monsieur Sajou had been working on, but she has now added her own albums to the line, and she's got great relationships with a number of the old thread companies, and so we are the North American distributors of Maison Sajou and sell to stores all over the United States and Canada. And it's been very, very interesting because it really is the opposite end of you know, when you look at the size needles that are offered by Maison Sajou, and then you look at the Bagsmith end, it's just, you know, the two ends of the spectrum. And but it's been really great fun. They're a great company, and new designs are coming out all the time. I'm not sure that Frederic ever sleeps, honestly. She's just incredible.
And so you work with them a lot. Do you put them in touch with designers at all from here?
No. She really is the main creative force of that company. And it was interesting how we met, because here's another example where we took our products to a show in Paris called La Guyon Fête. And there is a small amount of knitting at that show. It's, you know, the Festival of Needles, basically. And her booth was the row behind us. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, I would love to bring this into the States. And we spoke and hit it off, and we've been bringing it in for about 5 years now. So it's really
amazing.
Quite
you
an
told,
extraordinary line.
You told me something in our correspondence about Franklin's involvement with this. Franklin Habit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Franklin is a big
Sajou fan. Yeah, he really loves it. You know, he, over the years, has collected things that belong to his grandmother, who was very involved in needlework, and he works, you know, with very fine yarns and patterns. And our friends at Knitty thought it would be great for him to take one of the patterns, the cross-stitch patterns in one of the Sajou albums, and adapt it for knitting. And in the current issue of Knitty.com, you will find a pair of mittens designed by Franklin that incorporate a Sajou theme from one of the albums. And he's got a nice write-up about Sajou and the various products and a picture of one of the pairs of scissors. And so that was really fun. We had the mittens at TNNA so that we could show people that, you know, these designs could be applied to knitting. Now, a lot of yarn shops are actually carrying the scissors now because they're great, beautiful gifts. So, yeah, it's, you know, many of the people that we work with are family businesses. Sajou is a family business. The mill that we work with is a family business down in Apple Creek, Ohio. And we are a family business.
Well, this is a nice segue into the next thing I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about your family in a little bit, but one of the things that you and I have talked about is your partnership with Morningstar Fiber in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's
mm-hmm.
a very, very close relationship. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, when we first came up with the idea of Big Stitch Yarn, we met with J.C. Christensen, and actually his mother was involved at that point too, and we talked about the possibility of coming up with this, and they were making a rug yarn at the time, and rug yarns used for weaving have a sisal core, so they wrap the fiber around something that's very stiff, and I said, well, I want to create a knitting yarn. And so it took us about 9 months. If you hear JC tell the story, of course, every time I would call and they would see the caller ID, they would start shuddering. Is it good enough? Is it not good enough? But it did take about 9 months to figure out how to create this yarn so that it wasn't going to shed as much as we could. What were the right fibers to use? How did we, you know, where were the breeders and that in the country who were going to give us the kind of fiber that we needed. What were the specs for that fiber? I remember the first fiber I picked up from a local alpaca breeder here in the States. My mother and I went out. We picked up this fiber. We were so excited. We ran right over to the mill. They opened the bag, and it was full of all kinds of vegetable matter and bird's nests. And it was, the fiber wasn't long enough. And, I mean, we had to learn a lot in the process. So we've got that all down now. And they were just so wonderful to work with because along the way, you know, we kept refining and refining the product to make it better and better. And then, of course, there are certain colors of alpaca that are very difficult to get. It's very hard to find gray alpaca, for instance. And black isn't, we only use Wakaya. So black Wakaya is not readily available in the length that we need and the grade that we need. So we concentrate more on the fawn colors and the cream colors for our alpaca yarn, and we're able to do all kinds of colors with merino. And the merino bumps are the new bumps that we have just brought out at TNNA. And so it's really fun to start working with turquoise and garnet and emerald and all kinds of bright, you know, jewel colors, in addition to the black and the gray and the white. So, but they've just been fabulous. They really have. They've worked very, very closely with us, and they are indeed partners in this whole thing.
Well, it's great that you feel that way, and I think it helps that you're a family company, which is a nice, easy segue to my next conversation with you. I love that your family business is really a family business. I have seen so many members of your family participate. Can you talk about all the stuff that they've done? And one of the things I have to ask, and I have to ask because I'm sure our listeners, is how's Evie doing?
Evie is great. He, of course, is our son. He is up in Canada performing as an actor with the Stratford Festival and doing 3 shows this summer. It's very, very exciting. But he's very much a part of our company in that he does all of our graphics work. So if you get a brochure at one of the shows, or you see our ads on Ravelry or various other places where we might advertise, it's EB who puts most of that together for us. So he's a busy guy. he's really busy and helps sometimes with the website as much as he can, although his job up in Stratford, it keeps him very much involved in the acting world, which is great. He's been up there now for 3 years, and we've been very, very excited to see the work that he's been doing.
I'm sure you must miss him. I remember having him be there at TNNA and working in the booth, and he's an incredible salesman as well.
Yeah, well, he's got a wonderful personality, and we're very, very proud of the various things that he's accomplished over the years. So it's fun. It's fun to watch your children grow. You know how that goes. I see your postings all the time about your daughter and your the rest of your children, and you know how creative she is. So yeah, it's pretty neat.
Unlike, you know, Samantha got the creative gene. I it skipped me. So, you know, Evie got it naturally from you. I really am not creative. It's true. No, I'm a fairly decent politician, and I can do a good job as a host. But no one wants me to draw or design anything. That would be bad. That would be really bad.
But you just created this whole new company with your new software. That's got a lot of creativity involved in it.
I guess I had a lot of other people that helps make sure that got flushed up. But I don't want to talk about me. Let's talk about your other family that helps you. Let's talk about your
Well,
mom,
of course, there's my mother Jean, who is there at all the shows with us, and my husband, who is a great support, and he calls himself the best Swifter in America, and he is. Then, you know, people who have worked with our company really become family. I mean, Susan Thompson is just a great, great addition to our staff. If you call into the office, you might sometimes get Jenny on the phone, and she works in our other business as well, mostly, but, you know, she'll pick up the phone and work with Bagsmith customers all the time. So there's really an extended family. My sister sometimes is at the shows. My niece, my nephew will work a show here and there. So, and they all love the product. So that's really the fun part, because they're happy to jump in and learn what's new and then talk to customers about all the great things that that we have to offer in our booth. So there's a lot of involvement across the board.
Well, and it shows when you go into your booth and your family's there, there really is a great vibe that you feel in there. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got each other's back. Everybody understands all parts of the product, and everybody's single-mindedly taking care of people. I mean, you created a nice team there, Becca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's fun. It really is fun. It's fun to be together, and it's also fun to work with customers. And, you know, if somebody can't answer a question, you know, they know how to get the answer. So that's the way it works. And, you know, I can't tell you how many customers relate to that. You know, they talk about their experiences with their family, their mothers. I get into conversations with people all the time about how their family is involved in their either their business or some part of their life. It's amazing how personal sometimes you get into conversations with people, and you learn about them, they learn about you, and then the next year when you see them again, you catch up on everything. That's the way these shows work. And it's very exciting.
It is very exciting. I found that too, you know, coming from the software world before this, there was never this kind of personal connection. And these people stay with you for a long time. I mean, sometimes forever. And it's kind of nice. It's warm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hear from people all year round. You know, they have a question about a pattern. They have a question about something new we put up on the website. I get personal emails from people all the time. It's a happy business. My dad, who used to work with us, used to just marvel at how happy people were, you know, when they were involved in your booth. And he saw it more from the wholesale side. He used to sit in the booth and talk with people and just be so amazed at how pleasant everybody was. Because, you know, in many other industries, you don't have that special feeling about purchasing product or learning about new product. It's very exciting. It's a great industry to be involved in.
I agree. I want to We kind of got off your product range, but I just saw a note for myself, and I'd be remiss if we didn't have you talk to the listeners about Block and Roll, because many people may not know that. Can you talk about Block and Roll?
Yeah. Well, you know, every once in a while you stumble upon a product that has real legs where, you know, people get really excited about it. And our project bag, for instance, has had great legs. I mean, it's sold over and over and over again. Everybody loves it. It's very utilitarian. But a couple of years ago, Susan Thompson, who works with us, of course, brought in a flexible blocking mat that she had bought maybe 20 years ago. And the back of it was just disintegrating. And she said, "Can you make this? Can we figure out how to make this?" And I said, "Well, sure, let's try." And I sent it off to, you know, one of our suppliers and said, "Can you get this done for us?" And so we worked and worked and got some samples. It's a flexible blocking mat. And the current version, which is the newest version, is 38 inches wide by 55 inches long. And imagine it as a great big yoga mat. It's got a foam backing, flame retardant foam backing. And the top of the mat, which has a grid, a 20 millimeter grid in purple, lots of straight lines back and forth, is the top of the mat is water and heat resistant. So you can pin into it, You can iron on it. You can wet block and steam on it. And so it's big enough where you can take the pieces of a sweater and block them all to the right size using a measuring tape and the straight edges. Or you can, if you have a 60-inch scarf, you can actually put it diagonally from one corner to the other, and you can get pretty much a 60-inch scarf on this thing. And so after you block your piece and it's all dry, and the mat is all dry, you roll it up and you tie it up, there are ties on it, and you put it away. The whole mat weighs about a pound. And so it's a great piece. You know, a lot of people block on their beds. They don't have a grid or anything. They just put towels down. Other people have limited space, so this is a great piece because, you know, you can put it away. You can put it under a bed. You can put it in the corner of a closet. One woman I know takes the ties and makes loops out of them, and she hangs up her blocked pieces, waiting for them to dry. She hangs it on a bookcase so her cats can't get at it. You know, we've heard all kinds of great stories about how people are using this, and one of them is we sent this product into the one of the editors of the blog, Martha Stewart's blog. And she was so excited about it, and we thought, oh, great, we're gonna see one of Martha's knitted or crocheted pieces on the block and roll. Well, Martha took it, and she decided the best use for this was to iron big tablecloths. So it's on her blog from a couple of years ago when we first brought it out as the perfect way to iron a big tablecloth. Because, you know, if you put a big tablecloth on an ironing board, it becomes a little difficult to work with. So anyway, so that's our block and roll. And you can buy it through many of our local yarn shops are carrying it, and it's just really a terrific tool. Terrific tool.
It is a terrific tool. And it's like everything else you guys put together. You put it together and merchandise it very well. I mean, it's just good looking stuff. Everything people buy from you is good looking stuff. You have spent a lot of time
Thank
with
you.
That as concepts.
Yeah, you know, it's really important, I think, to have a consistent message and also to make things easy for people to identify, you know, to figure out what it is you're doing with it. And so we've tried hard. Everything you do is always a work in progress. It's always something that can be seen in different ways. And many of the ideas that we've come up with over the years have really been suggestions that our customers have made. So it's always good to hear from people and get feedback about what we're doing and how we're doing it and how they feel things have been presented.
Well, that is exactly what I have seen, a responsiveness to your customers, and I'm glad to hear that that's not just at the sales level but also at a research and development level for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
You know, we try and make sure that people try the tools, not just buy the tools, but sit down and try the tools and understand how to use them, that you should knit in your lap. You shouldn't hold them up where, you know, you're going to start feeling it in your arms or in your wrists. We always have a block and roll spread out in the booth so people can actually see that you can pin into it and iron on it and steam on it and what the grid looks like. And we try and make things as immediately accessible as they can be. But we don't always succeed, which is why we're always happy to hear people's suggestions. That's true about the website, too.
I agree. Yes, very responsive on your website. I'm going to move off your products for a minute because I have to talk about it. You know, when I first saw this, I just smiled and thought, yeah, that's Becca. You participated in the Naughty Knitters Calendar for Autism. And just to give everybody a little background about this, I'm going to tell you what this is about. Many years ago, there was a movie called Calendar Girls, and it was all about these very nice English ladies who were going to raise some money, and they took Somewhat suggestive pictures, but everything was blocked off, right? It was very tasteful, but it was a little on the racy side. And a couple of years ago, I believe it was Marcia started this project.
Marcia Cunningham.
And Marcia Cunningham, who's a great lady, she started the idea of we could do the same thing in over here, and it could be a naughty knitter's calendar for autism. And these things have taken off. I purchased them. I've sold them at Stitches myself. I'm a big fan of this project. How did they get you to participate in this? And then tell us about your shoot, because I got to know.
Well, I believe we were at Stitches West, and she came up to Jean. She came up to my mom, and she said, "Oh, it would be so much fun to have you do this, you know, especially with the big needles and all that good stuff." So Mom, she came back, and Mom said, "Well, I'll be happy to do it." You know, she's fearless, absolutely fearless. And I said, "Okay, well, if you're going to do it, I'll do it." And then we got Susan involved in it, and we also got Liz Tekus involved with it. Liz is the owner of Fine Points, which is my local yarn shop. And so we all kind of signed on to this and decided, well, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to really go overboard. And so we made various things to make our bodies discreetly visible. And one of the big challenges was finding a place to do this. So I have a friend, a very dear friend, who has a home. They have a lot of acreage, and they've got in the back of their house, it's very, very private, because we certainly couldn't do this in my backyard, where cars are just running by all the time, and I just didn't think that was such a good idea. So my dear friend said, "Sure, you know, we're happy to have you." And we got a friend of mine who's a photographer. Mom was photographed, for those of you who know her, sitting on a great big swing with a stash blanket she made that we left on the needles. And the picture of her that's in the calendar is Jean kind of sitting back on the swing with her arms around the needles, and it's really a fun shot. And then Susan made a headdress that was full of big stitch yarn, and where the hair of the headdress, so to speak, came down over her body. And so that was another fun shot. And then I made a headdress for myself too, and then I had kind of a funky handmade vest, and we took pictures of some of us sitting on a bench covered with one of our stash blankets. Well, it was really a fun day. It was, you know, with the bugs and everything else, you had to kind of figure out how to take these pictures so that, you know, it really got the spirit of the thing, as well as, you know, make sure that we were discreetly covered where we needed to be.
I just would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when you're talking to your friend and saying, "Hey, would you mind if I get naked in your backyard?" I really would have loved to have been a fly on the wall with that conversation.
Well, if you knew my friend, you would know how she said immediately, "Yes, I'm happy to have you do that." So that tells you the kind
you
of friends I have.
Great friends. Absolutely.
Yes. Yep.
So how's the calendar doing?
The calendar did well. Of course, it was a 2012 calendar, so yeah. The train has left the station. I don't know if Marcia's doing it again this year. I haven't heard from her. So I don't know if she's going to do a 2014 calendar. I think she kind of skipped 2013. No, the calendar was for 2013, right? But I haven't heard anything about a 2014 calendar, so...
Well, let us know if you're going to be on that calendar again. We'll get the fan club up and running about that. So what is the next big thing that you're working on with the Backsmiths? You got anything in development that you can talk about?
Well, aside from more patterns for our Big Stitch yarns, we are working on coming out with another version of the Big Stitch yarns, but that's a little ways away. But we have some ideas, and we've been knocking them around with our good friends at Morningstar. So we'll see what happens, but stay tuned, because you just never know what's going to come out of Bagsmith and be added to our repertoire around here.
I want to make sure that our listeners know what your show schedule is for the next couple of months. Can you tell us where you're going to be? And you know, obviously, you can find Bagsmith at bagsmith.com, and we'll be posting links to the various things we talked about on our Raffle group. But what's your show schedule coming up?
Well, we're going to be at Stitches Midwest. That's the next show. We're going to be at a shop in September. One of our wonderful retail partners in Dubois, Pennsylvania, has invited us. Unique sheep, unique yarns in Dubois, Pennsylvania. And we'll be doing some Big Stitch classes there. So anybody who is in that area should check it out with Mary Lee, because we'll be having a lot of fun with bumps and with multiple yarns and working with both Tunisian and regular crochet and knitting. So anybody in that area, contact her, because that'll be up on our website pretty soon. Then we have, we will be doing Stitches East. We'll be doing the Vogue shows in between and betwixt. And stay tuned, because we don't know whether or not we've been accepted in a couple of other shows yet that'll be coming up this fall. So,
but you do have a site, you have a place on your site for your shows, right?
Yeah, there is a link to the shows. And we try and keep it updated as much as we can. So we need to put the September things up. We haven't gotten there yet, but we'll do that shortly.
That's okay. Well, if you have enough people saying where you're going to be, that'll be your motivation to do that. So
yeah.
Before we wrap this up, I ask this of all my guests. Is there anything you want to say to anybody? You can say it to consumers. You can say it to prospective small businesses. This is just the open mic part where I don't have anything to prompt you. Do you have anything to say to anybody?
You know, I see being in business and also working with yarn and with ideas is really the fun part of this whole process. You know, that from your mistakes, you're led into something that you didn't ever consider before. And that goes for business as well as for knitting. And so, you know, I just try and stay as open as I can in the midst of, you know, all the day-to-day activities and all the crazy stuff that you have to deal with. That's just who I am, and that's what I encourage people to think about sometimes, because I think, you know, we tend to get very absorbed in the detail of the moment, but staying open to where the opportunities are, even if they come out of something that you thought was the wrong thing, is really the place where you might find your next great idea. So,
if you have more, no, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yes, I like the idea of keeping yourself open to the opportunities. You and I have spoken before about that, and I absolutely agree. So I wanted to thank you for joining us this morning, Becca. This was a lot of fun, and I'll see you in a month at Stitches Midwest.
Right. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do this. I've had a good time.
Good. I have, too. I hope I can convince you to come back on the show at some point.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you, Becca. That was my friend, Becca Smith from Bagsmith. Make sure you keep up with her by visiting her website, bagsmith.com, and that's one you're going to want to bookmark. Next week, my guest will be author, designer, and artist Franklin Habit. Yes, Franklin is coming on the show. There are far too many adjectives that I could use to describe Franklin, so I am not even going to try. But you better mark the show on your calendars, because you're not going to want to miss this episode. For those of you who have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us on our Ravelry group, Fiber Hooligans. Our moderator, Tammy Burke, does a great job of making sure we answer questions and provide follow-up to any questions. I also want to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. If you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, or just because I'm feeling feisty, I may even read your message or email on the podcast. That's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. I'll see you next week on another edition of Fiber Hooligans.